United Lutheran Seminary presents the Seminary Explores podcast, conversations on faith, art, people, politics, theology, life, and more, with voices from around the corner and around the globe.
Students everywhere in the United States today and perhaps around the world are leading the way to gun sense. And we'll hear about that today in particular because our guest is Phoebe Doscher. She is a sophomore at Gettysburg College and I would say chair of the Students Demand Action at the college, chair, leader,
president, co-founder,
president. And you come at this, don't you, from a very personal experience about which we'll begin. But in the meantime, welcome. This is the Seminary Explorers, and I'm Jerry Christensen. And in the next 20 minutes, we're going to learn about gun sense from a very personal standpoint. You are from Sandy Hook.
I am, yes.
And
so I grew up in the town. I attended the elementary school when I was younger, and my sister was in third grade and in the building at the time of the Sandy Hook School Elementary shooting in 2012. So it's a very personal topic for me, growing up with that and learning how a community, you know, grows from a trauma into, you know, and becomes resilient and, you know, uses.
The people in the school were known to you, certainly to your sister,
yes,
and to your parents. The principal, the administrators were the same that you had known,
mm-hmm,
and those who lost their lives were known to you at least,
yes,
were they not, even if they no longer were personal friends because you had slightly moved beyond. What was the, can you remember the emotional impact on your parents, on your sister, on the school people, on the community?
Oh, yes. I mean, at the time, it was, there was a huge level of shock for us, of course. So I think my sister, since she was so young, a lot of it was shielded from her because her brain tried to, you know, shield her from that trauma. So she, as a whole in my family, this is just our personal experience, we don't remember a lot from that time. And she doesn't even remember what the school looked like when she attended there, because she was just so traumatized and we were all just, it's just too unfathomable of, you know, a tragedy for us to all have to, you know, think about and deal with. So at the time it was very, of course, emotional to also see, you know, not only having to deal with the reality of the event, but also knowing, you know, that the whole nation and the world was responding to us too. So we would receive all of these donations and, you know, we would turn on the TV and we were on the news, you know, from our town. And, you know, it just became a very, you know, emotional thing all around where we had to grapple with, you know, the response and the, you know, trauma itself of, you know, the situation, because it was so serious and so nothing we could have ever prepared for, that no one ever knew would have happened before and no one could explain.
I believe, if I recall correctly, the president took up this cause. President Obama took up the cause of Sandy Hook.
Yeah.
And that was the basis for a big push for gun sense, which unfortunately, as before, failed in the Senate. While your emotion, in a way, the human being helps to shut down those emotions that are so traumatizing, somewhere along the line, you became aware that you were at that time in a historic position and had personal experience about it, and began to relive it and think you could do something about it. How did that happen? Did it grow slowly? Did it happen when you came to college?
I think it really hit me when I came to college because I was taken out of that environment where everyone was aware of the situation, had experienced what the community was like, and, you know, just was aware of the tragedy from a very personal standpoint. So once I came to college, I started to, you know, feel these, you know, this trauma again and realize the breadth of the situation. So that kind of incited a new type of fear in me when I wasn't in this bubble of this community that had already been impacted by a mass shooting. So when I got here, I felt that fear and started to feel so tired of sitting around in that fear and not actually doing something myself. So then I started to think about ways that I could take my fear and transfer it into action. And so I could potentially help other communities from feeling the same that way that we did and experiencing that same, you know, tragedies.
We could do a sociopsychology study today, because that's rather typical, I think, of human beings. We have to shut down terrible traumas at the time they occur, and then they'll come back.
Oh, yes.
And hopefully in a positive way,
yeah.
And not one that is debilitating. In your case, it moved to action. I hope your family is surviving this these moments when it comes of recall, which can be extremely intense. Before we go on to what you're doing at the college, tell us a little bit about how you became aware of the seriousness of the problem outside of Sandy Hook, and how, from your standpoint now, how really serious the problem is. While we're recording this, there have been two shootings just in the last week.
Yes.
And who knows how many more before our program is posted.
Yeah. So in general, gun violence has increased and become even worse on a level since Sandy Hook has occurred. And we all thought that this would be a breaking point because it
was... We did, didn't we?
Yes.
We thought this was it. This is the end of it.
That would be it, because it was...
This was Armageddon, and from now on, it's... And it didn't... Excuse me for interrupting, but...
No, it's true. We all thought that it would, you know, be that, you know, point of change where we could go from there and say, like, this is really bad. First graders died, 20 of them, so we need to move from here. But it wasn't. And since then, more children have been killed by guns since Sandy Hook than U.S. soldiers in combat since 9/11, in fact. So it's increased on an exponential scale that's just, you know, even more unfathomable to me, beyond just having to think about the tragedy happening. You know, people die every single day. 100 Americans die every single day because of gun violence in our nation. And to me, that, you know, and it doesn't even make headlines anymore. We don't see every single time someone, you know, is injured by a gun, someone is killed by a gun, the inner city violence that occurs. You know, in Chicago alone, I see on, you know, on my news feed, there were like, there are just, the gun violence is happening everywhere all the time, and we don't even acknowledge every time it happens on a massive scale. So it just, it's become so normalized in this nation, and it boggles my mind that, you know, it's still, you know, it's a public safety issue at this point, because no one is exempt from gun violence because guns are so easy to obtain and they're so, you know, ruthless in this day and age. You know, these assault weapons can, you know, have the potential for mass destruction to a level that you just, you know, no one wants to experience or see or, you know, die in that way. And no one should have to. But people have, and children have, mm-hmm. And it's, you know, I just feel like I came from Sandy Hook with this unique perspective of being from that town and being able to say, yes, I'm from Sandy Hook, but this is what we need to change, and this is what we need to do now, because we're still here, and we can still fight to bring honor to the victims and bring honor to the survivors. And, you know, the more and more people every day that are feeling this impact from gun violence, we can use these voices to make ourselves heard and to take that action and say, you know, let's pass legislation that will save people's lives and that will prevent people from, you know, experiencing massive trauma and all of these, you know, horrible things in the world. It's just, I feel, you know, to a degree, it's a perspective thing, because gun violence is something that's pretty much on my mind every single day. You know, I can't walk down the street without thinking, like, looking around me and thinking, is someone gonna, you know, have a gun and just all of a sudden start shooting, because I don't feel safe anywhere. You know, I'll be in my dorm at night, I'll hear a noise, and it will scare me because I'll think it's a shooter. And that's, like I said, it's a perspective thing, because not everyone thinks, you know, goes to that. But the fact that it's becoming more and more prevalent, that I'm not the only one who thinks to that, you know, immediate, you know, there is a shooter, I'm not safe, someone has a gun, someone wants to kill me or other people, it's just so wrong. Because I, you know, the reason I think that is because I come from a town where it actually happened. And more people are coming from towns where that's actually happened. I talk to people all the time. Like, you know, some people have, you know, experienced it close to them multiple times. And there, you know, there's even, you know, there have even been victims who were present at other shootings but survived and then either died or got injured or were present at another shooting. So it's become this thing where more and more people are becoming aware of it and having that level of, you know, being afraid of it, but it's also become so huge that there's more and more reason for everyone to be afraid. So I have that fear, and I don't want anyone else to feel that fear, and I know that other people do. And so that's why I just want to take that energy and use it towards pushing for the good and reminding everyone that, yes, there is still good in the world, because we can experience a tragedy like Sandy Hook and come out of it and try to fight for the good because we know it's still there.
Phoebe Dosher is a sophomore at Gettysburg College, and we're asking her to tell her experience about gun violence, which she experienced firsthand in Sandy Hook. And we're thinking also about how students around the country and perhaps around the world are leading the way to gun sense. I'm Jerry Christensen, and you're listening to the Seminary Explorers. So now, turning, as you've been talking, I realize you're emphasizing that you're trying to turn your personal experience into some specific action on campus, and you founded then the Students Demand Action Group.
Yes.
How about that?
So I feel, you know, so grateful for the opportunity to be able to bring this to Gettysburg, and I was at first surprised that there wasn't even a Students Demand Action or Gun Violence Prevention Group on campus already, because they're sprouting up around the nation everywhere. And of course, there were groups in Sandy Hook that I took part in and things like that, but, you know, that was just, you know, it made sense.
Is this name one that other campuses use, or is this your own unique name at Gettysburg?
It's part of a national organization. Right. So in that sense, we're connected to Students Demand Action for Gun Sense in America, like the national branch, which provides me with a ton of resources that I can use. Like, I can access Gun Sense University online, which is, you know, an online database where I can look at PowerPoints and, you know, educational resources and access toolkits so that we can, you know, have certain events in particular or provide students with, you know, resources to get involved and take action.
And what kind of meetings and membership requirements and, above all, what actions can you take?
So far we've been trying to have meetings fairly regularly. We've had a discussion-based meeting where we just all, you know, in a, you know, group discussed the issue of gun violence and how we could take part in it. And some people, you know, brought up personal experiences relating to, you know, instances of gun violence or in that same vein, and it was very inspiring to have that conversation and hear what people wanted to talk about. We recently had a session to write letters to senators and representatives urging them to pass common sense gun laws. So I provided everyone with resources and a list of all the bills that we could urge them to pass and the people that we should specifically be putting pressure on, so that because they've either, you know, denied bills in the past or shown, you know, that they're not supportive of common sense gun laws. And the reason I say common sense gun laws is because there have been statistics like 90% of Americans support universal background checks. So it's common sense, because there have also been statistics that show when universal background checks are put into place, less people die. So the fact that we all came together and were able to write to these, you know, politicians and say, we urge you to pass these laws and to make this happen in our country, is, you know, that's the way that we can, that's one of the ways that we can take action. And that's so important, and it's proven to help. And so we're also, I'm planning a vigil for to end gun violence for next, I think it'll be in the next couple weeks. And that's in conjunction with the Newtown Foundation. They're having, you know, vigils to end gun violence in honor of the 7-year anniversary of the Sandy Hook shooting. So that'll be something that'll happen on campus too. We might do viewings of movies and documentaries about gun violence. I've also planned to have the co-editors and potentially a Columbine survivor come visit campus. There was a book written called If I Don't Make It, I Love You, with personal accounts of survivors of school shootings in that book. And I was able to get in touch with one of the co-editors and ask if they could come to campus for a reading and book discussion next year. So that's another thing that's up on the horizon. But as you know, the issue persists, and as things happen, we could have more things like rallies and marches and, you know, artistic, you know, writing songs or writing a play, you know, things just to get people involved and to raise awareness, but also make sure that we're taking action because we're so close to Washington, D.C. So that is such a valuable resource for us where we can lobby and we can go right up to them and say, we need to make this happen.
Sit in the office and wait for an appointment.
Yes.
It's been done.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
It's being done all the time.
It is.
To get this in some perspective, and you may express your own personal opinion here, and those of the other members of your group, there are a number of options for gun sense. We are now in living, you and I, in central Pennsylvania, which is big on hunting.
Yes.
Naturally, all over Pennsylvania. It's a great hunting state. In fact, hunting in some ways is probably necessary if we're going to control the animal population. Where would you like to draw the line personally on gun sense, on what kind of guns could be available outside of universal background checks? I mean, should, you know, the old motto, they're taking away our guns.
Mm-hmm.
How do you respond to that?
First off, the thing is with our organization, Students Demand Action, Moms Demand Action, we're not an anti-gun organization specifically. We're anti-gun violence. So when people think that we're taking away guns, that's not the goal at all. We're just trying to put the protection measures on and safety measures so that they don't get into the hands of the wrong people and so that they don't cause mass destruction on, you know, people's lives. So we're not trying to take guns away at all because we know they're there. And for some, they're necessary for like hunting measures and things like that. I draw the line when it becomes, you know, just a violation of people's safety. And if they get it, like we have red flag laws that ensure that guns don't get into the hands of the wrong people. So if someone has a history of violence, they should not have a gun because then they could, you know, hurt other people and innocent people. So there are measures like that where we can take. We can ban assault weapons, which have high capacity magazines and semi-automatic weapons that can cause mass destruction and are not necessarily required for hunting.
I think, excuse me for interrupting there,
yeah, but absolutely.
Wouldn't that be a pretty easy measure if the weapon is needed for hunting, a bow or a rifle?
Mm-hmm.
That's the limit. Beyond that, automatic weapons are not necessary for killing deer or rabbits.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the criteria is what is necessary for hunting, but probably not beyond.
Right.
Those are military weapons.
Exactly. They're military grade. Mm-hmm. They're not meant, you know, they're, you
to
know.
To carry into schools or.
No, absolutely not. And there are laws about concealed carry, too, mm-hmm. where people can just walk around with these weapons and yeah. flaunt them. And it, you know, not only could potentially be, you know, lead to violence, but it's also traumatizing for people to think that they're, you know, unsafe. So, and there are also measures we can take to securely store firearms so that accidental shootings don't happen, where there have been instances where children have accidentally shot themselves or other people because someone didn't lock up a gun properly. Or, you know, the most recent shootings that have happened, like mass shootings that happen, where, you know, young people, like, you know, teenagers get a hold of guns is because they're in their homes and their families have them around. But if there were proper measures to protect them and keep them safe and make sure that they were stored away, then these shootings might not occur.
Oh. Last and certainly not least, what would you expect us to be able to do? I say expect, I'm not saying demanding, but what can we or should we do as a whole, not just as students?
I think a huge important aspect of this is having these conversations and, you know, leveling with people regardless of their views and just having conversation about, okay, so you're pro-gun and I'm anti-gun, but why, or anti-gun violence, but why is it that you feel that we're going to be taking your guns away? Or what can we do together to pass laws that will protect people and keep them safe where it's not going to, you know, potentially violate any type of safety that you think that you need to have? People think that they, you know, need that extra measure of protection. And, you know, it's important to have those conversations and recognize that, you know, gun violence is, you know, no one is exempt from it. So even if you do have a gun and you think that you would be able to keep yourself safe, that's not entirely, you know, guaranteed. So I think we all need to just have conversations together to, you know, make compromises to put these laws into action.
Kind of form a basis of consensus for the American people to move forward with their congressional representatives, mm-hmm. so that some kind of gun sense could be enacted. Last but not least, I said that once before, absolutely last. Are you hopeful? Are we moving forward on this, moving backwards, or staying about the same as far as gun sense is concerned, specifically about legislation? I notice you're a little bit of a frown now. You're not going to be completely optimistic.
No, I think we are moving forward, though.
Slowly,
but surely. Gun deaths are still happening every single day, and one death is too many. 100 a day is far too many, but there have been changes that have been made. And with organizations like, you know, Every Town for Gun Safety, Moms Demand Action, Students Demand Action, people are speaking up about it and overtaking other groups that might not be, you know, anti-gun violence or, you know, or might be pro-gun. So I think that, you know, people are speaking up and that is causing changes to occur.
Students taking the lead on the way to gun sense. Our guest, Phoebe Dosher, who is a sophomore at Gettysburg College and the founder and president of Students Demand Action at the college. For the Seminary Explorers, I'm Jerry Christensen. Have a very good day.
You have been listening to The Seminary Explorers, a production of United Lutheran Seminary, with campuses in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to visit our website at unitedlutheranseminary.edu. Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of United Lutheran Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.